In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're on volume 30, May 30th, 1932. So after this, she said, Louisa says, the crowd of my thoughts on the divine will went on. And since I had received Holy Communion, I thought to myself, what difference is there between the sacraments and the divine will? So here's another question that we have. And again, it was given to Louisa. Jesus allowed that to happen so that Louisa could ask Jesus our question and he would answer us. So Jesus, my sovereign Jesus, breaking his Eucharistic veils, made himself seen. So again, here we see Louisa seeing Jesus. And having a sorrowful sigh, he told me, Louisa, my blessed daughter, the difference between one and the other is great. So listen to the question. What is the difference between the sacraments and the divine will? Okay. He says the difference between one and the other is great. The sacraments are the effects of my divine will. While my divine will is life. And as life with its creative power, it forms and gives life to the sacraments. Okay. So we're getting a glimpse of why, Jesus says it's the priest's job to give the divine will. And I know there's a lot of good lay people who are proclaiming the divine will and good. I mean, it's good to hear people enthusiastic, but the teachers are to be the priests. The one who gives this out, this first bread, is the priests. So he says the sacraments given by the church, by the priesthood, basically, are the effects of my divine will. While the divine will is life, and as life with its creative power, it forms and gives life to the sacraments. The sacraments do not have the virtue of giving life to my divine will because my divine will is eternal and does not have a beginning or an end. The sacraments are received in time, places, and circumstances. Baptism is given only once and never again. The sacrament of penance is given when one falls into sin, and my very sacramental life is given only once a day. So here Jesus is saying that in the Holy Church, this is the sacraments. The sacraments and sacramentals are given to those in the church. That's why the fullness of the deposit of faith is found in the church. Why? Because of the sacraments and sacramentals. And Jesus says the sacrament of sacraments is the divine will. And this is what he's trying to explain. Again, Father Bucci said it would be as foolish for a layperson to go to the altar and say, I don't have the Eucharist. Well, this is my body. This is my blood. And there's Jesus. It doesn't work like that. He says it's as foolish for a layperson to say, this is the divine will. See, the ontological change that happens in ordination is needed, Alter Christus, to give this gift to the lay people. And I know some people get really upset when they hear this, but it's only Protestantizing the church when you don't need a priest. And that's what's happened. We've seen that happen where the priests have taken over the laity's office, and the laity has taken over the priest's office. It's out of order. And so what Jesus is showing us is the importance of this sacramental life, of the church that the divine will is under. And I know it's very difficult for lay people to say, well, there's no priests around. There are priests around. You got to find them. And when you listen, you'll be taught according to the church. And again, this is very, very important for the laity to understand. It's It's not the role of a lay person to stand at the altar and say, this is my body, this is my blood. And Father Bucci says it's just as foolish for a lay person to say, this is the divine will. I mean, we love the divine will, but it's the priest's job. And if you read the role of the priest in the divine will, if you find that book on the internet, you can go to luisapicaretta.me, luisapicaretta.me. It's free. And as you read this, as you study it, as you read Father Bucci's book on the biography of Luisa, she was always under the direction of the church, always one with the church and not in rebellion. So this is extremely necessary to understand. So Jesus says, and in this gap of time, the poor creature does not feel upon herself the strength and the help of the baptismal waters that regenerate her continuously, nor the sacramental words of the priest that fortifies her in a continuous way by saying to the soul, I absolve you from all your sins. See, I know so many people that say, well, I don't go to confession because I talk to God in the wilderness and God forgives me. Well, again, this is why when you understand the absolution of a priest is necessary. This is the way God set it up. This is the way Jesus set it up. And the sacrament of confession I've seen people who've made a good confession physically change in front of me from wounded to being healed, from being oppressed to being free. I've seen this continuously in confession. I'm always astonished by the power of the sacraments. And this, Jesus says, is the sacrament of sacraments. Wait till you see what's going to happen here. It's so glorifying. It's so wonderful. So Jesus says, through the absolution of the priest, Jesus, the priest fortifies the soul in a continuous way. Nor does the soul find in her weaknesses and trials of life her sacramental Jesus for her to take at all hours of the day. On the other hand, my divine will possesses the primary act of life and the capacity to give life with its empire and holds the continuous act over humanity. This is what our God is doing. Our God is so good. Our God is so amazing. Our God is so loving. But he's ordered, and he wants us to be in order as well. And this is why he's given us the Holy Church. And the church is being perfected. Jesus is ironing the wedding dress of the bride. He's getting rid of all the stains on the bride. This is the purification that Jesus says must happen to the church and to the world. So he's asking each and every one of us, what do you want? I have to give you what you want. Don't Protestantize the divine will. You know, don't throw the priest out and say, well, there's no priests around. If you have a good priest, prays the rosary, wears the scapular, has Eucharistic adoration, loves the church, present him with the role of the priest and the divine will. Present him with the book that will transform a priest. Again, at first they'll say, I don't want it. That's okay. I mean, a lot of people talk about the divine will as they're like eating a piece of candy. They're eating a piece. This is the most delicious piece of candy I've ever had in my life. This is so delicious. And what a lot of people do is they take it out of their mouth and they say to the priest, you got to eat this. The priest goes, get away from me. You know, it's so delicious. It's so magnificent that you want to share this. You want to. But, you know, give them the hours of the Passion. This is what the Archbishop said. The hours of the Passion, the Virgin Mary, the Dawn of a Mystery, the DVD is very important. The book from the Vatican about Luisa, that's really important. And now I think the role of the priest, when the priests begin to understand everything's being changed for the better. And it looks kind of, interesting now, but everything's being changed for the better. And Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail. Don't worry about that. Listen to what Jesus shows Louisa. And as the priests begin to devour this book, as they begin to enter into these truths, these knowledges, these manifestations, these secrets, these promises, these lessons of Jesus, the priesthood is going to be an amazing thing to see, Jesus says, what he's going to do. So he says this. He says, on the other hand, the divine will that possesses the primacy of life and the capacity to give life with its empire holds the continuous act over the creature. In each instant, it gives itself as life, light, life of light, life of sanctity, life of love, life of fortitude, and some with it as life. As life, there are no times. There are no circumstances. There are no places. There are no hours. There are no restrictions, nor are there any laws, especially since it must give life. And life is formed with its continuous acts, not as at intervals. Therefore, in the ardor of its love, with its continuous empire, it can be said that it's a continual baptism, absolution never interrupted, a communion of each instant. This is the perennial communion that Adam had. More so, since this will of ours was given to Adam at the beginning of his creation as the perennial dwelling, life dwelling in him. So God is giving us back to our origin. This is what's coming to all of mankind. What a glorious time to be alive. And again, it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. Jesus says it's going to be like a birth. The pains will become more intense and more frequent until the child is born, until the kingdom is established. And that's where we are. We've been born for this time. And as St. Joan of Arc said, I was born for this time. And as a 16-year-old girl, she led an army into battle and defeated another army. And what Jesus shows us is what the saints have gone through, we're going to go through, but in a more powerful way. It's a glorious time to be alive. And he's given us the way and the how this is going to happen. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, there's no questions. Our questions are answered. You begin to see clearly with new eyes, if you want to say, what God is doing. So he says in volume 31, 1113, 1932, Louisa said, I was feeling all shrunken in my nothingness. Again, that's important. Feeling without my most sweet Jesus, that's where we are sometimes. And I felt my nothingness emptied of its life. We've gone through that, and we're still going to go through it. Without support and without strength since I had received Holy Communion. Okay, so here she's going through this darkness. All of us go through this darkness, and it's important that we go through it. She says, I felt that I had nothing to offer to Jesus. We have nothing. We haven't even got a drum to offer to the Lord. I felt that I had nothing to offer to Jesus. I felt oppressed and embittered. And Jesus, compassionating me, told me, my daughter, courage. Your nothingness with your Jesus is everything. And you can give me Jesus everything. We have to take these words as truth. We have nothing to give God, but our nothingness. And he says, I delight in your nothingness. Because he says, it's like a blank canvas. As an artist, he says, I can develop what I want. I can make my divine masterpiece. That's what he's doing with us. It's good that we're nothing. You know? So Jesus says this. Courage, your nothingness with your Jesus is everything, and you can give me everything. In fact, you must know, and this is the book, you must know, when you receive me in the sacrament, the blessed sacrament, I do not descend alone, but I descend with all my works. And just as I make you the owner of my sacramental life, we possess God, so do I make you the owner of all my works. Therefore, if you want, if you desire, you have much to give me because you have my works in your power. More so since my sacramental life that you receive in the Holy Host is surrounded by the acts of my holy humanity that did for me when I received myself in instituting the most holy sacrament. So we receive Holy Communion. We say to Jesus, I want to receive you as you received yourself, Lord. I want to receive you in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, as if all humanity received you as you wished for all of humanity, that you desired for all of humanity. It is surrounded by the acts of my celestial mother that she did for me when she received me in the sacrament, showing us that Mary was there at the Last Supper. It is surrounded by all the acts of those who live in my divine will, everyone from the beginning of time to the end of time. Because these acts are inseparable from me, and I and remain incorporated with me as part of my own life. So you can give me everything. You see what Jesus is saying? You can give me everything. This is our God. He wants us to be one with him. He says, because they are to serve to cover your misery, your human will, to make up for your love, almost as not to make you feel ashamed that as you come, as you receive me, as I come into you, you have nothing to give me. Even more, as you make use of them in order to give them back to me, to be able to please me and to love me by means of these acts, they bilocate and become your acts and my acts and the acts of my sovereign queen and the acts of the souls who live in my divine will in such a way, instead of having one, I have two. And my sacramental life remains surrounded by double acts, double love, and by greater glory. See what's happening? He's saying, I want to share. I want you to share in my divinity. This is what the priest does every day, putting the drop of water into the chalice. We're going to share in the divinity of Christ. And this is why John Paul II says, get ready for a new and divine way of holiness. Listen to what God is saying. He says, instead of having two, my sacramental life remains surrounded by double acts, double love, and by greater glory. These are my traffics that I, God, do when I, God, communicate myself to souls. I, God, give of my own in order to get twice as much from them. So I industriate myself to put into traffic my very sacramental life so as to receive the requital of it. But alas, how many souls did not make use of it? They remained as having nothing, nor do they know what to give me. And I remain without the new cortege, starving of their acts and with the sorrow of not being able to industriate myself in my loving traffics. He says to Louisa, and he says to us, you shall not do this to me. Okay, so here Jesus is showing us, you, he says, do not do this to me. Okay, why? Okay, he says, I'm going to teach you how to begin to live this abundant life. He says, very, very clearly, you do not do this to me. He says, because, as soon as I find my eyes, he says, because if I come to you, I mean, Jesus is coming to us. It is not just to come, but also I, God, want to give myself. I, God, want to receive as much as the creature can give. This forms my satisfaction, my contentments, and my paradise in the most holy sacrament. To give myself and to receive nothing from them forms my purgatory, my little prison of the sacramental host. A purgatory that human ingratitude forms for me. Therefore, be attentive and with courage and without any reservation, give me from my own and all of yourself to me, that I may be able to say, I give everything to the soul and the soul gives everything to me. In this way, you shall form my contentment and my traffic of love. So this is what the divine will is. We're taking everything that Jesus has given to humanity, everything that he shows Louisa, and we give it back to him. You filled me with divine love, I give back to you divine love. You fill me with divine life, I give back to you divine life. You fill me with divine light, and I give back to you divine light. Image and likeness. This is what's coming. This is what God is doing. How glorious is this? That we can be alive today and give to God what Our Lady gave, what Jesus gave. This was not taught to the saints. We got glimpses of this, but now Jesus with the Book of Heaven is explaining to us these truths, these manifestations, these divine secrets, these gifts, this love of God back to him. He's showing us how and why this can happen. And that's the beauty of reading the writings. Volume 31, 1:18, 1933. My daughter, how many souls receive me sacramentally in their hearts and put me, God, in loneliness? Oh, how many times I, Jesus, descend into the hearts and I cry because I see myself alone. And when I descend, I see myself alone. I feel neglected, nor appreciated, nor loved. So much so that I am forced by their indifference to reduce myself to silence and to sadness. Jesus is the Word. And he said, he's silent, sadness. He is the Word. Silence, sadness. He wants to speak to us. His voice is silent. We have to begin to hear him in the silence. And since they do not take part in my sacramental life, I, God, feel apart inside their souls. In seeing that I do nothing with divine and invincible patience, I wait for the consummation of the sacramental species, inside of which my eternal fiat has imprisoned me, leaving only traces of my descent, because I have not been able to leave anything of my sacramental life, or maybe only my tears, because since they did not take part in my life, the void was missing in them, he says, in which I might leave the things that belong to me and that I wanted to place in common with them. This is why one can see many souls who receive me sacramentally, but they do not resemble me. They are sterile of the virtue, sterile of the love, sterile of sacrifice. How do we resemble Jesus? Virtue, love, sacrifice. He says, I'm going to give this to humanity, those who want it. They can be in my image and likeness if they want it. They can go back to where Adam was before the fall if they want it. That's the decision that God is giving to the world right now. What do we want? Choose what side you want to be on. If we have the Book of Heaven, God has already said to us, I've chosen you. Do you want this? I've given it to you. Do you want this? And we can say, no, this is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. God doesn't want us sterile anymore of virtues, love, and sacrifice. He wants us one with him. Poor souls, they feed themselves of me, but because they do not keep me company, what does that mean? Because they don't spend time with me, because the Eucharist is far from them, because they don't spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, because they do not keep me company, they remain on an empty stomach. Oh, to what grips of sorrow and of cruel martyrdom is my sacramental life subjected? Many times, Jesus says, I feel drowned with love. I would want to free myself, and I long to descend into their hearts. But alas, I am forced to give out of them, get out of them more drowned than before. How I could pour out if they did not even pay attention to the flames that burn me? How can I pour out this love if they don't even pay attention to the flames? This is his Sacred Heart that burned me. Other times, the spat of sorrows inundates me. I long for a heart in order to have relief to my pains, but no, they would want me to take part in their own, not with mine. Okay, and that's how many times do people just go to complain to God? How terrible God is. They have to worry. They're fearful. They're anxious. They're complaining. They're negative. He says, I want to give them relief to my pains. Would they give me relief? But no, they want me to take part in their own misery. And they're not relieving me of my pains. And I do it. I hide my sorrows. I hide my tears in order to console them. And I remain without the longed for relief of the soul with me. But who could tell you the so many sorrows of my sacramental life and how it is more those who receive me that put me in loneliness in their hearts, but bitter loneliness, than those who keep me company. When I find a heart that keeps me company, when I find a soul who spends time with me in the front of the Blessed Sacrament, I place my life in communication with that soul, leaving the soul the deposit of my virtues, the deposit of the fruits of my sacrifice, the deposit of the participation of my life. And I choose that soul as my dwelling and hiding place of my pains. And as the place of refuge, I feel as though repaid for the sacrifice of my Eucharistic life. Because I finally find a soul who breaks for me my loneliness, a soul who dries my tears, who gives me the freedom to pour out my love and my sorrows. These are the ones who serve me as living species, living hosts. So Jesus is showing us how to become a living host. He told St. Faustina, you must become a living host. And he shows Luisa how this happens. So we see with St. Faustina, the words, you must become a living host. With Luisa, how this happens. By spending time with him, becoming like him. You know, they say that an animal begins to look like its owner, or the owner begins to look like the animal. What is here is when we're with Jesus, we become like him. We become patient. We become silent. Jesus says the souls that talk a lot about nothing shows that there's nothing in the soul. They just talk. Nothing to give glory to God. Nothing to give for the salvation of souls. It's just talk. It's nothing. That's why it says you'll be judged for every idle word that you say. We're not talking about, cursing. Every idle word we're going to be judged for. What did we do with our time? What did we do with our voice? I mean, see, Jesus he's going to renew us. He's fixing his church. He's ironing out the dress of the bride. He's getting rid of the stains. He's getting us ready for the wedding feast, heaven. He's getting us ready for that. So Jesus says, I want you to become a living species, a living host, not like the sacramental hosts that give me nothing. They only hide me. All the rest I do on my own. They tell me not a word that would break my loneliness. They are mute hosts. While in the souls who serve me as a living hosts, we carry out our life together. We palpitate from one same heartbeat. And if I see her disposed, this is key. I communicate my pains to her and I continue my passion in her to become to God's image and likeness. This is what's so important. To become in God's image and likeness, he finds a soul that wants to be like him, and he shares his pains with that soul. We're all suffering, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. We're all suffering. No one is going through more than what God is going to give them and what they can contain, what they can hold. I've seen some beautiful souls suffer. To the point of death, and their reward holy moly, I just can't imagine the crown that God has planned for them. There are other souls, they have little suffering, and they complain and are arguing even at the moment of death. There's no fiat. We're all suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. How are we, this cross that God has given us, are we dragging it behind us, cursing God? Or are we embracing it as Jesus embraced his cross? Jesus is giving us more. So he says basically to us, okay. All right, I lost my place. I'll just read them. Even more, you can make use of them in order to give to me and to be able to please me and love me by means of these acts. Okay. You can give me everything because they serve to cover your ministry, to make up for your love, almost as not to make you feel ashamed, that as I come into you, as we receive Jesus, you would have nothing to give me. Even more, you can make use of them in order to give them back to me to be able to please me. Okay. All right. Sorry about that. And to love me by means of these acts, they bilocate and become your acts and my acts, acts of the sovereign queen. See, we can share in with everything that Our Lady went through. Acts of the souls who live in my divine will, the souls in heaven and on earth, in such a way that instead of having one, two, my sacrament for life remains sounded by double acts, double love, greater glory. We have the right page here. Hold on 1 second. Okay. They are my traffics that I do when I communicate myself to souls. I give of my own in order to get twice as much from them. And so I industriate myself to put into practice. I think I've gone too far, too fast. Put into practice. Sorry about that. I am really... put into practice, and does me to my very sacrament to receive the requital of love. I'm going to make use of it to remain, the remainder of having nothing, nor do they know what to give me. I remain without the new cortege, starved of their acts, and with the sorrow of not being able to industriate myself in my loving traffics. You shall not do this to me. Oh, dear. Sorry, I think I read that already. Okay. Because if I come, it's not just to come, but also I want to give myself to receive as much as the creature can give. This forms my satisfaction, my contentment, and my paradise in the most holy sacrament. To give myself and to receive nothing from them forms my purgatory and my little prison of the sacramental host. A purgatory that is human and gratitude forms for me. Therefore, be attentive and with courage and without a reservation. Give me from my own and all of yourself to me that I may be able to say I gave her everything and she gave me everything to me. In this way, I shall form my contentment, my traffic of love. All right. I think I have to find where I am. Okay. Okay, so the next part here is I'm on volume 31, 11, 11, 13, 11, 13. I'm sorry about this.
Father, we were on volume 31, January 18th, 1933.
Is 31? Okay, sorry.
33. But yeah, volume 31, January 18th, 33.
What happened was I hit my keyboard and everything went out.
That happens to me all the time. Yeah, so I thought I was on the wrong page, but I think we're somewhere around where the pointer is right now.
Thanks. Oh, great. Thank you. All right. Sorry about that. It's been a long morning. Okay. 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 So yeah. Okay. Here it is. Pay attention to the flames that burn me. Other times. Okay. Who could tell you the so many sorrows of my sacramental life and how it is more to those who receive me that put me into loneliness, the bitter loneliness that keeps me company. And when I find a heart that keeps me company, I place my life in communication with her, leaving the deposit of my virtues, my fruits, and my sacrifice, participating in my life, and I choose her as my dwelling and my hiding place of my pains and the place of my refuge. And I feel as though repaid for the sacrifice of my Eucharistic life, because I find the soul who breaks my loneliness, who dries my tears, gives me freedom to pour out my love and my sorrows. These are the ones who serve me as living species, not as sacramental species that gives me nothing. Only they hide me and all the rest I do on my own. They tell me not a word that would break my loneliness. They are mute species. While the souls who serve me as living species, we carry out life together, palpitating from the same heart, and I see her disposed. I communicate my pains to her. I continue my pain, my passion in the soul, and I can say that from the sacramental species, I pass into living species to continue my life on earth, not alone, but together with her. So you must know the pains are no longer in my power, and I keep asking for them out of love. These are living species of souls, and they make up for what is lacking in me. Therefore, my daughter, when I find a heart that loves me and keeps me company, giving me the freedom to do what I want, I reach the excesses. I hold back nothing. I give so much that the poor creature feels herself being drowned by my love and by my graces. See, we enter into the infinite ocean of love. It is then that my sacramental life no longer remains sterile when I descend into hearts. No, but I keep, listen to this, reproducing itself by locating and continuing my life in her, these souls. These souls are my conquerors. These souls who administer their life to this poor one, in needs of pains. And they say to me, my love, you had your turn of pains on the cross and it is ended. Now it is my turn. Therefore, let me stand in for you. Let me suffer in your place. This is something that a lot of people don't want to do. And they go, I can't go through this. I don't like suffering. It's not that we love suffering. We say to Jesus, just come down from the cross for a moment. Let me suffer in your place just for a moment. Jesus says, and oh, how content I remain. My sacramental life remains in its place of honor because it reproduces other lives of its own in the souls. Therefore, always together with me, do you want to do what I want you? Always together with me, do what I want you to do, and that we may live a life together, that you may take to heart my life and I may take to heart your own. So what's happening, we're swapping places with Jesus. We're saying, I want your love. And he says, I want your love. It's his love in us. I want your life. He says, I want your life. It's the two become one. Again, the mystical marriage is a glimpse of this. What God now wants to bring about is a new and divine way of holiness. And this is what's coming for all of humanity. It's so beautiful what God is doing. Okay, so now we're on volume 33. 7/8/1935. Now you must know that when I instituted the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, my mother in the divine fiat was together with mine. Together we pronounced the fiat and the bread and wine were transubstantiated into my body, my blood, my soul, my divinity. Ah, just as in the beginning I conceived, being conceived, I wanted the Blessed Mother's fiat, so did I want it in the solemn act that gave origin to my sacramental life. So here he says, I needed the Blessed Mother with me. Who would have had the heart to put my mother aside in an act in which my love showed off with such exuberant excesses so as to seem incredible? Rather, not only was she together with me, but I constituted our Blessed Mother queen and love of my sacramental life. And Our Lady, with the love of true mother of mine, offered her womb to me again, her beautiful soul to keep me defended, sheltered from the horrendous ingratitudes, the enormous sacrileges that, alas, I would receive in this sacrament of love. My daughter, this is my purpose. I, God, want my divine will to be life of the souls, to keep as though together, to keep her together with me. So to let her love with my love operate in my works. In sum, it is the company of the creatures that I want my act, that I, God, want in my acts. I do not want to be alone in what I, God, do. And if it were not so, why call the creature into my divine will? If it were not to remain an isolated God and she alone without taking part in our divine works, and not only instituting the most holy sacrament, but in all the acts that I, Jesus, did during my whole course of my life on earth, by virtue of the one will which we were animated, whatever I did, my mother Mary did as well. So here what's happening is you're beginning to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, never being separated from the new Adam and the new Eve. Volume 33, 721, 1935. In addition to this, there are my long waiting in the sacrament of my love. I wait for everyone. I reached the point of counting the minutes, but no, in vain do I wait for many. Others come with such icy coldness as to increase the harsh martyrdom of my waiting unto the utmost degree in the tabernacle. There are few of those who are waiting for me as I was waiting for them. And only with these few do I feel relieved. I feel as though repatriated into their hearts. I give vent to my love, and I find refreshment to the harsh martyrdom of my continuous waiting. To some, it may seem that this pain is nothing, while it is the greatest that constitutes the hardest martyrdom of waiting for souls to come to him. As Catholics, we have the Holy Eucharist. As Catholics, we should make a promise to Jesus that we will be with him at least an hour a day. I know that might seem extraordinary, difficult, but to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord is the greatest thing you can do each day. Volume 33, 11:4, 1935. My abandonment in the divine volition continues, but the more I walk within its ocean, the sea, the more I feel the need of its life in order to continue to live. This is Louisa. It's the same thing for us. The more we walk in this ocean of love, the more we feel the need of its life in order to continue our life. And having received Holy Communion, I felt the need to love Jesus more. But my poor nothing did not have the sufficient love in order to love he who so much loves me. And my sweet Jesus, encouraging me, told me, my blessed daughter, do not lose heart. One who lives in my divine will keeps her nothing within the all. See, we are nothing. And wanting to love me, she loves me with her, with my own love. He says, and this is something that God is revealing to us. He asks us to live in our nothingness. It's like a glass that's empty. Okay. He says, I want to fill you to overflowing with my love. I don't want your human love in there anymore. I want you to share in my divinity. I want you to participate in this abundant love, this abundant life, this abundant light, life of God. He's really asking us to begin to live this life of love. And he's asking us, pleading with us to begin to really, really enter into this life. So we'll end with a prayer, and we'll be back in an hour and 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.